الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir. Tuesday, the 18th day of Ramadan, 1443 years after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina in the Amina School's Masjid in Boso, behind Boso Primary School, Boso Local Government Area of Niger State, Mina. We are reading Surah An-Nisa. That is Quran chapter 4, the fourth chapter in the Quran. And we have read Surah An-Nisa up to the 103rd verse. We have not finished the exegesis of the 103rd verse, because the concluding part, it says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. I think we have not taken that yet. For reasons, we answered questions yesterday. We usually do that in our tafsir when questions are piling and Ramadan is approaching its end, because we usually close this tafsir any time from 25th. Up to 27th maximum. So, when you have just about a week or so to the closure, we want to answer all the questions that are left so that we don't leave with questions waiting for answers. So today also we have about 20 questions, I understand, for now. And so, our brother here is suggesting that we also answer questions today. And I want to hear what you have to say about that. We do the tafsir or answer the questions? We should do the tafsir. And then use questions and answers time to answer questions. Okay. So inshallah, we will first of all want to conclude the 103rd verse. Our Qari is not around again today, so I will take his place before he comes, inshallah. Okay, so the ayah is أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه فإذا قضيتم الصلاة فاذكروا الله قياما فاذكروا الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبكم فإذا اطمأننتم فأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and when you have finished the salah, the salatul khawf, the salah of fear, during the jihad, فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ, continue to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qiyaman, whether you are standing or qu'udan or you are sitting, وَعَلَى جُنُوبِكُمْ, or you are on your sides. We have taken all of that. Whether you are reclined on your sides or you are standing or sitting, continue to mention Allah, remember Allah. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could either be subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, allahu akbar, or qira'atul quran, or salah itself. Continue to perform salah, whichever state you find yourselves in. فَإِذَا مَعْنَنْتُمْ, then after the war, when there is no more war, when there is now peace, فَأَقِيمُ السَّلَامُ, continue to establish the prayer as usual, as you used to before the war. So Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. So this is the part, the exegesis of which we have not done. The rest I remember we have. فَأَقِيمُ السَّلَاةَ, you know, I think that we have done. But إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. This is the part that inshaAllah ta'ala would like to conclude with today. So this part, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا, is saying verily salah is made compulsory on the Muslim. On the mu'minun. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you a mu'min, generally speaking, every mu'min is a Muslim. So, if Allah just said mu'minun and does not bring a Muslimun inside, then it means every Muslim. Every Muslim is supposed to be a mu'min. So, it's referring to every Muslim. Especially those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every Muslim who says la ilaha illallah, salah is compulsory on them. That is kitab. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala al-lazina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqun. Kutiba ifuriba. Ujiba. So it's compulsory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it compulsory on the mu'minun. That's why there are commands concerning salah. The one we see in Baqarah, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. This is a command to Banu Israel, but it also extends to us. You know, it started by saying, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم وإياي فارهبون. And then he says what? وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما بين وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أول كافر به وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ. Then he says, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. So, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ is establish the salah. وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ and give the zakah. So, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding you to establish the salah is saying that it is compulsory. Because if Allah commands you to do anything, you must do it. You must obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it says, استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you to anything that will give you life, that will revive you and give you iman and keep your hope in Jannah alive, if Allah calls you to anything as such, or Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, or both, if they both call you to anything that will take you to Jannah, then istajibu. You must obey. You must answer to their call and obey. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a ruling, you must carry it out. If He commands you to do anything, you must do it. It's compulsory. Unless a reason comes that shows that, okay, some people have been exempted from that order, or that all Muslims have been exempted from that order in such and such and such condition, or that a reason comes to show that it's, the command has been abrogated, that it is no longer so now. In Surah Al-Anfal, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first gave the Muslims the command to fight and made it compulsory on them. Once there are 20 of you, they will be able to fight how many? 200. Isn't it? Is that not the first command? إِنْ يَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ إِنْ تَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ إِشْرُونَ يَغْلِبُوا مِئَتَيْنِ. So if there are 20, you will have victory over 200. Therefore, if there are 20 of you and there are 200 of the kuffar, then you still must fight them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that easier later and then brought it down. So now there can only be double of you, not up to 10 times. You know, and then if there are 100 of you, you can fight 200, right? So that it was now made easier. So unless it is any of these, once Allah gives a command, it's compulsory to carry out that command. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا تُمَعْنَنْتُمْ, and if there is peace now, then فَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish the salah. So it's compulsory for us all to pray. Then he says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا, that our salah is made compulsory on all Muslims, and it is made compulsory along with its time. That's why some ulama say that if it is time for zuhur and somebody refuses to pray until the time of zuhur has lapsed, it's gone, it's now time for asr, no longer time for zuhur. Now the time within which you can pray zuhur is completely gone. It's now maghrib, for instance. It's time for maghrib and you did not perform zuhur. What happens to that person? The ulama are split on this. Some will say, if you were sick, if you were ill, and you were at such a stage that it was impossible for you to pray, before you realize the time for it was out, you will perform the salah as if you are performing it in this time, because you are not aware of it at the time, or you weren't strong enough to perform it. Or if you forgot, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the pen, your acts are not written when you forget. So nothing is written for you if you are in a state of forgetfulness until you know what you do. So if any of these, or you were sleeping, that is if you're already an adult, you were sleeping and the time for prayer went, you didn't know. At the time you woke up, it was past time for that prayer. Then you perform the prayer as if it were its time. So you are not doing qada, you are not paying back, no. You are performing it as you would have done in its first time. But if it was deliberate, you were sitting, you were probably playing cards, or you were playing football, and you are the captain of the team, or you are the goalkeeper, there is no way you can leave and it was a very important match, maybe between your country and another country or something, in the World Cup. It was time for prayer, you couldn't leave. And until the time for the prayer lapsed. It was time for Fajr, but you were praying. You were playing football. Until the sun had risen, you were still playing football. That's deliberate. You had no excuse whatsoever. So if the time for the prayer has gone, what do you do? The ulama split on this. Some ulama say that you will never say any prayer that will be acceptable again. That prayer, it will never be acceptable from you. It has gone. Because the prayer is made compulsory along with its time. So they are not two different things, they are one and the same thing. So it is within its time that it will answer the name of that prayer. Once the time has gone, that prayer has gone forever. You can never bring it back. So what do you now do? Oho, it's left to you. You do istighfar as much as you can, but you still go to Akhirah expecting that Allah will take the reward from you. Or that Allah will punish you for leaving that salah. So the time you are dying, just know that you owe Allah a debt. And you can decide to ask for it back or forgive you. So you don't know which one he will do. But the chance to pay back that prayer you have missed. Some people see it as ease. That when you say, you cannot pay back that prayer. I say, hey, that's easy for me. So I just go ahead with my... It's not easy. The easier thing is for you to have the chance to perform the prayer so that you have paid Allah's debt. But when you go to Akhirah with Allah's debt, that is not easy for you at all. That's a terrible thing. So it's important that we know the time and we keep the time. And we do not allow the time to lapse. You know, like Salatul Asr, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says that if its time lapses, Salatul Asr, you could pray Asr, but you didn't because you were engaged in one thing or the other. Until the sun set, you did not pray Asr. You were probably playing cards or doing something sinful, or you are not even doing anything sinful, you are just sitting but you just refuse to go. That sitting is also sinful. And then the time lapses, you did not go. You heard the call to prayer, you heard when Iqama was said, people were praying, you did not go to the mosque. They came back, you were still sitting, that's sinful. But then you stayed until Maghrib, you did not perform Asr. The hadith says that, all your good deeds, all the rewards are gone. All the good deeds you have done in your life, all the salah you have prayed on time, your fasting, your zakah, everything you have done for which you deserve reward has been wasted. You have to start all over again like somebody who is just embracing Islam today. Except that the person who is just embracing Islam today, his sins have been forgiven. So he's starting like a baby. But you? No. It is the acts of reward that you're starting. But you're not starting like a baby because your sins are still intact. So, but you have no good deeds in your mizan at all. So that's a very dangerous thing for one to do to him or herself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Salah has been written along with its time. So we should be very careful about performing Salah in its time. So now we'll go to the time itself. What are the times for Salah? It is reported that somebody asked Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam about the times for Salah. What time should I observe Salat al-Dhuhr? What time should I observe Salat al-Asr? What time is it that if I'm observing Zuhur, I will say that the time is gone? It's no longer time for Zuhur. It's no longer time for Asr and so on. Qala, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلَمْ okay, it was said, the person reporting said, فَلَمْ يَرُدَّ عَلَيْهِ شَيْئًا. This hadith, by the way, is on the authority of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. And it's an authentic hadith. Inshallah, we'll see later about that. So it was, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not give an answer. But then, ثُمَّ أَمَرَ بِلَالًا. Later, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam commanded Bilal, فَأَذَّنَا, and he said the adhan, ثُمَّ أَمَرَهُ فَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ حِينَ شَقَّ الْفَجْرِ. And then he commanded Bilal to do the iqamah. This was all after the appearance of the fajr, the dawn. فَصَلَّى, and then he led people in prayer. ثُمَّ أَمَرَهُ فَأَقَامَ الظُّهْرَ. Then it was time for Zuhur. He asked Bilal to do the iqamah for Zuhur. والقائل يقول قد زالت الشمس. At the time that they were going to start this prayer, somebody was saying, the sun has gone past the meridian. The sun has gone past the meridian. قد زالت الشمس. So from the meridian, then it passes a little, then it's time for Zuhur. والقائل يقول قد زالت الشمس أو لم تزل, or that it is near. But then of course it means that the zawal had come. وهو كان أعلم منهم. But the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام knew the time more than they. But they were just saying this is to prove that okay, the people knew that now it was zawal al-shams, and so it is at zawal al-shams that you pray salat al-zuhur. The first mistake we make here is that we say Salat al-Zuhr is 2 o'clock prayer. You hear children saying that. I've not prayed 2 o'clock. Which one is 2 o'clock? It's not possible for the time to be the same in the whole of Nigeria. Why does everybody in Nigeria call it 2 o'clock prayer? So the person in Maiduguri will wait till 2 o'clock. And the person in Lagos will also wait till 2 o'clock. It's not the same time, Kerr. It's not. You know, sometimes the sun sets in Maiduguri at 6:05. It doesn't set in Lagos till about 7 o'clock in the evening. But in Maiduguri, 6:05, it has set. Sometimes in Maiduguri, 6 o'clock in the morning, the sun is already so hot. You think it is 8:30 or 9. So how do you compare Maiduguri to Lagos and so say that both of them should pray at the same time? If the people in Maiduguri pray Zuhur, Fajr, at 4:30 a.m., the person in Lagos will have to wait till at least 5:30 a.m. before he prays. If he prays at 4:30 a.m., he has prayed in the night. It is Qiyam al-Layl, it's not Salat al-Fajr. So how can you say that everybody in Nigeria will be saying, if you are reading Islamic religious corruption, you say it is it's 2 o'clock prayer. There is no such thing as 2 o'clock prayer. It is Salat al-Dhuhr, and the time differs from one place to the other. In Saudi Arabia, they are performing Zuhur when it is 10 a.m. here. And we are two hours behind them. So 2 hours later, we should be performing Zuhur. That will be what time here? That will be 12 something. You go to England, sometimes they are performing Zuhur at 10 a.m. You go to America, it's another time like that. In fact, in, I think it's in UK that some of them fast for about 22 hours. So you want to tell such people that when Nigeria calls the prayer at 6:30 or 6:40, they should also be doing its part when it is probably 2 p.m. in their place. Or things like that. You know, it doesn't go like that. It doesn't work like that. So it was Zawal al-Shams before they called the prayer and then they started the prayer. ثم أمره فأقام العصر والشمس مرتفعة بيضاء نقية. Then at the time that the sun was high up, hot, and the place was bright and very clear, that was time for Asr. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam asked Bilal to call to prayer. He did, and they performed Salatul Asr. ثم أمره فأقام المغرب حين وقعت الشمس. And then at the time that the sun set, وقعت, at the time that the sun went down and set, then he asked Bilal to call to prayer. He did the call to prayer. ثم أمره فأقام العشاء. And then they prayed Maghrib. Then he ordered Bilal رضي الله عنه to call to Isha حين سقط الشفق, at the time that the redness in the sky had disappeared. You know, when the sun sets, at the time it's setting, you see a redness around there, isn't it? So gradually, that redness actually spreads and then disappears. When it disappears completely and the sky is dark, then it is time for Isha. So Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam asked Bilal to do the adhan. He did, and then they prayed. قال, and then he said, وصلى الفجر من الغد. And then the next day, you know, the first day they had prayed, they had observed Salatul Fajr immediately after dawn set, isn't it? That means it was still very dark then. Then the next day, I hope you're listening carefully. Then the next day, he ordered Bilal to call to Fajr. يَقُولُ طَلَعَاتِ الشَّمْسِ أَوْ لَمْ تَطْلُعُ. At the time that Al-Qa'il, somebody observing, would say, the sun is rising, or the sun is about to rise, let's pray Fajr. The time is about to rise. So it was morning. The sun was almost rising. And then Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam then prayed Dhuhr that time. Meaning that the first day they prayed when it was the first, immediately the time. Isn't it? The next day he's showing them the end, the time that the time for Fajr ends. Once the sun has risen, then it is no longer time for Fajr. The time is gone. So you should say it before you see the sun appear. When the sun appears, before it appears, say Salatul Fajr before that. There are people here that are called Antirani. Those who come from the north, far north, because when they are here, they call us, they actually call us west or the south. We here in Niger State, to the Sokoto people, we are in the south. We are not northerners. You know that? Huh? So those in the north, like Sokoto, Zamfara, Kebbi, and so on, when they come here mostly, they come to do some trade or to do some things in the dry season. When it's when the rain starts, they go back home to farm. And then they come back after farming season. So those people that they call Antirani, they come here mostly, and some of them make the mistake of thinking that their own salah is different from those of others. So they say, Salah Enti Rani, the salat of the Enti Rani. What is their own salah? In the morning, they pray around 7 o'clock. So they are looking at the sun, and the sun is looking at them. And then they pray at that time. They are Enti Rani, there is no problem with that. Probably that's what they think. But that is very wrong. There's no different time for Enti Rani at all. It's the same thing. So anyway, then, وَصَلَّ الظُّهُرَ قَرِيبًا مِنْ وَقْتِ الْعَصْرِ. And then the Prophet ﷺ delayed the Salah of Dhuhr until it was close to the time for Asr. You see that? So that is the end time for Dhuhr. If you pray within these, you're still praying within time, even though it's more rewarding to pray immediately it is time. وَصَلَّ الْعَصْرَ وَالْقَائِلِ يَقُولُ قَدْ إِحْمَرَّتِ الشَّمْسِ. And then he performed Asr when the person observing was saying, the sun is reddening now, the sun is about to set, the sun is about to set. And then he prayed Asr at that time, at the time that the sun was reddening. So it was weakening then. وَصَلَّ الْمَغْرِبَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَغِيبَ الشَّفَقُ. And then he delayed Maghrib and did not pray it until the redness was almost about to disappear. Then he prayed Maghrib. That's the end time for Maghrib. وَصَلَّ الْعِشَاءَ ثُلُثَ اللَّيْلِ الْأَوَّلِ. And then he delayed Isha till around 10 p.m. or so. Or a little past 10 p.m. The first of the one-third of the night. The first third of the night, he delayed until it was that time before he prayed Isha. ثم قال, then he said, أين السائل, where is the person that asked me yesterday? عن وقت الصلاة, where is the person that asked me concerning the time for Salah? فقال الرجل, أنا يا رسول الله. So a man said, I am the one, O Messenger of Allah. He said, ما بين هذين الوقتين وقت. What is between these two is the time for Salah. So make sure that you pray within that time and do not allow it to go past that time. Are we following? The popular hadith, the most popular concerning the time for Salah, is the one reported, the hadith that is the hadith of Jibreel. The hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. That's the popular one. In that, the first time Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came, he showed the Prophet all these times. He prayed at the beginning, each prayer at the beginning. Then the second day, he came and repeated the prayers, but towards their end, just like the Prophet did here. Only that, in the time for Maghrib, instead of what was done here, you know here, the time for Maghrib, the second day, the Prophet allowed it until the Shafaq was almost disappearing. Then he prayed, which means that you can extend the time of, the time for Maghrib is not as short as we think it is here. It still has some allowance too. Because he allowed it the second day until it was, Shafaq was almost disappearing, then he performed Maghrib. That means between the first time, which is at the time that the sun sets, and up to the time that the Shafaq is still existing but about to disappear, those are all times for Maghrib. Now, but in the hadith of Jibreel, the second day, Jibreel prayed Maghrib the same time. Even though he delayed the others, but for Maghrib he prayed it the same time. So here, Malikiya bases their argument on that hadith, and they say that it means that the time for Maghrib is not special. It doesn't extend to any other time. So the time for Maghrib is very short. Therefore, the Malikiya, immediately they finish calling to prayer, they start ikama. Based on that hadith. Because they think the time for Maghrib does not extend to any other time. So once it's time, immediately you pray Maghrib. The others, there are allowances, and that's why Jibreel separated the time. But we can see here that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also extended it. And this hadith is also authentic. It's been authenticated by the ulama of hadith. Therefore, the nafila that you say after calling to Maghrib is valid, is the sunnah, and is rewarded. So don't say because the time for Maghrib is short, therefore you forfeit the nafila before Maghrib. That's a big mistake. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, Sallu qabl al Maghribi. Say a nafila before Maghrib. So when the muazzin has called to prayer for Maghrib, allow people to be able to say nafila, two rak'ahs, and then you start the Maghrib prayer. Do not say the time is short. It is not short. It's long. The time for Maghrib can extend to about 40, 50 minutes. Therefore, allow it to be so. Don't be in a hurry. Immediately the sun sets, call the prayer, okay, but allow people to do nafila. And you can even give up to 10 minutes. You give 10 minutes for other prayers, but Maghrib, you find that there is no time. Or for the people that give time, they just give 3 minutes. Because they say the time for Maghrib is short. It's not true. It's not short. It's an allowance also. You can give up to 10 minutes between call and the starting of the ikama, so that people can say nafila, those who are performing ablution should perform ablution and so on, and come to the masjid before the prayer starts. There is a hadith that says that the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do on time, one of them is as-salatu ala waqtiha. You say the prayer at its time. Exactly it is when it is time for it, just say. Like the hadith reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi, that there are three things that should not be delayed. And one of them is prayer, salah, when it is time. So he said at the right time. The other one that says as-salatu ala waqtiha, some ulama say that that one is what is shahad, that to them is not, it doesn't seem right that he says salah exactly at his time. Why? Because of the other issue in the timing for salah. And that is, like Ibn Hazm says, the right thing to do is to observe salah at its time. Immediately it is time. He says, except Zuhur, when the sun is very hot, that then you delay it until the sun is a little cold, then people will come out and pray. When that heat has subsided, then people come out to pray. So there, you know, is not exactly at this time. You are delaying because of that. And then, Isha, its right time is thuluthul layl al-akhir. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that the right time for Isha is the first third of the night. So, which is the first part of the night? When does the night start in our country? After Isha? After Isha? 8 o'clock? 9? 10? What time? Immediately after sunset. Once the sun sets, the night has started for us. Okay? Now, the first third of the night, if you calculate the whole of the night, how many hours do we have now? Because that too can change from time to time. How many hours of the night do we have now? Approximately how many hours? What time is Ulu al-Fajr? 5:10 now, isn't it? Now, what of Ghurub al-Shams? When does the sun set now? Huh? 6 what? 6:45. Between 6:45 and 5:10, how many hours do you have? A little more than 10 hours, something like 10 hours, 25 minutes. Okay. So if you split that in 3, what will you get? Huh? 3 hours and some minutes. So if you add that to 6:45, what will that give you? About 10 o'clock. That'll be about 10 o'clock. Isn't it? So if it's 10 o'clock, that's the first third of the night. That is the right time to perform Isha. If only people could wait. Because Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, Lawla an ashukka ala ummati. So he's afraid that it might become difficult for some people. That's why you perform salah immediately, the shafaq is hidden. If not, the right time, the most correct time to observe the salah will be about 10, a little past 10 in the night. So he says, if you're saying immediately the time sets in. For Isha, you can never get the time because immediately the sun, the time sets in is about 7:40 something. But then the most right time is about 10 something. So that will mean that this is not balanced to them. But you see, this does not make it Shaz at all. Because this is based on conditions. If the sun is not hot, the right time is known. So say it at the right time. Immediately it is time, say it then. As the hadith implies. Immediately it is time. Do not delay it. Delaying the time for salah is not a good thing at all. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to observe it at its time. As long as you have not forgotten, as long as there is nothing wrong with you, immediately it is time, go and call the prayer. When the call is said and you hear it, then you must go to join in the salah. Unless you have a reason not to go for the salah to jama'ah, in that case you pray where you are. I hope this is understood. And so it's very important to take care of all of these. And for one to be sure that, okay, the time that we observe the prayer is the time that we should observe it. But then when those provisions are made, that if the sun is very hot, then you delay it. People who want to pray at the right time should know that then it is not the right time when it is time as it is on other days. This one is different. You must obey the Prophet ﷺ and also delay the prayer. So is there any time that we delay the prayer in the masjid? Even though we pray 12:30 something, 12:40 something, there should be times when in fact we could delay till up to 1:30, 1:40 or thereabouts. There should be. If the sun gets very hot in your place. But the advantage that we have here is that the sun hardly gets that hot here. We are complaining of this one now because it's Ramadan. If not, after Ramadan, when do you ever feel that the sun is so hot you can't come out of your house here? There's hardly such a time here in Mina. I don't know, but if you go to places like Maiduguri, Gashwa, places like that, there could be. So when you have find yourself in such a situation, then don't even go to the mosque at that time. And the Muazzin should fear Allah and should not call at that time. Should wait until the time that the Prophet has recommended, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and then he prays them. Inna hadha deena yusr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided ease for this ummah concerning this deen. So anybody who refuses to take that ease, then of course, that this deen will overpower the person. You will not be able to meet up. So just stick to what has been provided for you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you any sadaqah, take it. Like we took a few days ago. The sadaqah, no, is it here or the other tafsir? The sadaqah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take it and never throw it away. You know, like qasr, salatul qasr, is sadaqah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not say, no, I'm strong enough to pray four rakats, so I'm not going to pray two. No. Or do not say, no, that was written for the Prophet because he was old. No, there's no such thing. It's sadaqah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take it and do not reject it. Wallahu ta'ala ala. I think we have discussed the time for prayer enough. Huh? So inshallah we'll go ahead with them. Do we have time? Okay. So we can still continue the tafsir, or is it time for questions? Huh? We have up to 7 minutes. Okay, let's go. Go ahead. نعم.
وترجون من الله ما لا يرجون. وكان الله عليما حكيما.
الله سبحانه وتعالى says, what verse is that? ولا تهنوا في ابتغاء القوم. إن تكونوا تعلمون فإنهم يعلمون كما تعلمون وترجون من الله ما لا يرجون وكان الله عليما حكيما. Before we go into the exegesis of this ayah, it's very important that we look at something that's occurring in this ayah. Look at the word تعلمون. إن تكونوا تعلمون فإنهم يعلمون كما تعلمون وترجو من الله ما لا يرجون. Ask yourself, the way this one appears here, is there a difference between the way you pronounce تعلمون and this one تعلمون? Huh? It's pathetic. You hear Muslims say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم. You don't know which one is Hamza and which one is Ayn. You don't know. Even Qurra run into these mistakes today. And wallahi, sometimes you're praying behind somebody and you feel like terminating the prayer and pray because the person is bastardizing Surah Al-Fatiha. And Surah Al-Fatiha is farm in Salah. Shouldn't joke with it at all. So it's very important that we know that huruf, tajweed, is huruf. Harf, if you pronounce harf correctly, that's about 90% of tajweed. You know the makhraj, you know the sifa. Is very important, and this is tajweed itself. So when you miss that, you're going to make a lot of mistakes in the Quran. Sometimes you will be reciting the Quran in a way that somebody will say you have committed the ridda. You know, when you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Alam is pain. So you are calling Allah the Lord of pain. And then Alhamdu is death. Be unto Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aridity. May Allah be dry, like the earth gets dry. Alhamdu. It's supposed to be Alha. Alhamdu. Not Ha. They are two different alphabets, and they mean two different things, these words. And then, Al-Alameen, and A-Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil A. You just say Rabbil Alameen. People take these things for granted now. It's very unfortunate. We should try as much as possible to correct these mistakes. You see this one now? If you pronounce this one as ta'lamuna, you will be missing the point. You'll be saying something different from what Allah is saying here. If you go to ta'lamuna and you pronounce it as you are pronouncing this one now, you will miss the point. You will change what Allah is saying. You know, there are words in English, pain, and fame. The Hausa man, if he wants to say pain, he will say fame. Fame in English has a different meaning from pain. Do you know that? What does it mean? What does fame mean? Fame in English is F-E-I-G-N. What are you feigning? It's a verb, it's not a noun. But pain is P-A-I-N. It's a noun. But the other one is a verb. When you feign, you still don't know the meaning? So if it were the Quran that the Hausa man was reading, it would be enough to give him bulala when he says feign instead of pain. Because he has changed the meaning. But because it is English and, you know, it's a, just know that he's an outside person and that's why you just excuse him. But when you come to the Quran, you must know that even the Arabs had to be taught the Quran. Even Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, Jibreel was commanded to say to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what la tuharrik bihi lisanaka lita'jala bi inna alayna jam'ahu wa qur'ana fa idha qara'nahu fattabi' qur'ana thumma inna alayna bayana. Even the Prophet was told that. Do not be in a hurry to recite. Take it easy. Do not twist your tongues on you because you are in a hurry to get the recitation, to memorize it and so on. Do not do that. Just take it one at a time. Listen. When Malak Jibreel is reciting, all you do is listen. Allah says, we will make sure you memorize it. We will put it in your heart. You will not make any effort to memorize the Quran. Just listen to it being recited. That's all you need. So the Prophet ﷺ only listened to the recitation and he memorized it. Because it was not his effort. You see Surah Al-An'am, it came at once. You see Surah Al-Imran, about 85 verses or so came concerning the people that came to argue with him. And all of that stuck to his memory immediately after they had gone, immediately after Jibreel had recited it. Because Allah had promised that it was his own duty, not that of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. For us now, it takes us 10 years, 12 years, 16 years, some of us all our lifetime, like me now, I still have not memorized the Quran. I don't know when I will. And I'm sure there are one or two other people here like me who have not memorized the Quran. There are up to two people more. Maybe there are only two people who have memorized the Quran. So, but in the time of the Prophet, it was just automatic. There's hardly any other person in this world that has ever been given such a gift. Of all the high IQs you have known in the world, there's no IQ that is close to that of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. The highest IQ any human being can have. And that was because he was not left to himself. He was asked to depend on scripture. If you depend on Allah, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. So once you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will do it for you. And that's what he did for Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam. So, but even the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam was asked to listen first. And then he would be taught the pronunciation. And then for the memorization, it would just be put in his heart. And it would be there forever. And that's how it was. The Prophet needed not to ask anybody to remind him of anything, to recite any surah in the Quran. People would ask questions concerning the surah that was revealed to him 11 years ago, which he never wrote, and which he never can read because he never wrote, he never read. And the thing will just come to him and he will give it to you and tell you what it means and give you the tafsir using some other ayat of the Quran without ever reading it. You see, if you go to some ulama now, you see their books. This mosque cannot contain the books that have been piled by some people. And they have read all of the books, all the books that you see. They have read all of them. Yet, they do not have one over 1 million of the knowledge that Abdullah ibn Abbas had, let alone that of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. It's not possible. So take it easy and know that you have to learn the Quran. You have to listen to an alim, and then you have to try to follow it like that. And take your time. If it's difficult to do it, it's even more rewarding. The more difficulties you face in memorizing the Quran, in reciting it correctly, the more reward you get. So don't be discouraged by anything at all. But never allow yourself, wallahi, to lag behind. Just like this ayah is also saying. So he says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا فِي ابْتِغَاءِ الْقَوْمِ. I think we have run out of time now. Subhanallah. Okay, we'll take this tomorrow, inshallah. Now, questions. Number 59. This one says, can I recite Quran with the intention of the rewards to go to my parents, but one of them is late? Inshallah, you can, and it will. Because after somebody's death, some of the things that can go to the person are the dua that you say for your parents, the reward will go to them, inshallah. It will be beneficial to them. And the qira'ah of the Quran itself is dua. Because you recite the Quran, you get something from Allah as a reward, as a blessing. So it's automatically a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshaAllah ta'ala, it will get to them. I've heard an alim give fatwa to this effect, and that's why I felt strong enough to also give it like this. Wallahu ta'ala ala. Then this one says, what's the ruling on working in abattoir where pigs are butchered? Are you also going to butcher the pigs? If there are Christians, if there is provision for Christians, to butcher their pigs separately. They have their own shed and everything. They have nothing to do with the Muslims. They don't use the same knife and so on. You have no business with them. What you do is go to the section that concerns you. But then the government must make sure that nothing of that mixes with this. So everything is separate so that they take theirs, we take ours. So it won't be in the same hall, it won't be with the same knives and things like that. It shouldn't be the same. It shouldn't be on the same slabs and so on. So if you are working, you're working where the cows, the goats, the sheep and so on are being slaughtered, it's okay. There is nothing wrong with that, inshallah. So this one says, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us upon khayr. Ameen. He says, if he makes a mistake in nawafil, will he pray sujood before or after, or should he continue? He will. He will. It's all salah. Even though some people have the view that he won't, but he will, inshallah. And this one says, the azkar you say 10 times after Salatul Fajr and Maghrib. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, okay, to the end. For the imam, is he to say the zikr before turning to face the jama'ah, or he can say it after facing the jama'ah, considering the condition binding it? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was the imam in his time. And what he used to do was that after the salah, he would sometimes get up, go to the side of the masjid behind like that, and lean on the wall, and then say it's adhkar. So the imam can do that sometimes. Or you can just turn and face the people behind you, and then continue with your adhkar. But you are not going to be saying, La ilaha illallah wa adhu la sharika la, then they'll be repeating. No. Everybody is doing his own. But like I said, the adhkar after salah are done with your voices raised to yourself. So that because you are raising, the other person is raising, everybody is doing his, the person outside can hear the sound of the adhkar, showing that the time for salah, that they have finished the salah. When you are outside and you are hearing this one saying, La ilaha illallah wa ahdahu la sharika la, the other person is saying, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, La ilaha illallah wa la na'budu illa iyyah. They know, these are the adhkar after salah. So the salah is gone. But not that somebody will sit and say, Salatu ala nabi 10 times. They will say, this one, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ 7 times. Before you recite once, you say, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. That was not reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all. Allahu alam. This one says, yeah, is it allowed for a Muslim to participate in protests? The ones you do on the streets? Or what? Which one is he talking about? Which kind of protest? If somebody insults the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you can protest against that. You can raise your voice, you can show your anger. But how do you do it? You go to the streets and join the awam? No, you don't. Because when the awam are let loose on the streets, most of the time they do the things that are wrong. Because they cannot control their temper. They hardly know the difference between wrong and right. It's not good for somebody who knows Allah and wants to follow Allah to join such a group. Because most of the time you go astray. So you don't join the awam. But if you can write and send to the proper authorities, do. If you can speak on Twitter, or if you can write on Twitter, or in such a way that the person you are writing to will be the only one to see it, go to his inbox. For instance, that is perfect. That's good. Once in a while, ulama say it may even be allowed to say it publicly when saying it privately does not work. because you send it through the inbox, he never reads it, and so on. And you want that message to get across. So once in a while, you say it in public for him to hear. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's what Al-Hudhayfi used one time when he had to do the khutbah on the minbar of Medina, and he protested against what Rafsanjani, I think, was doing on by the grave of of Umar bin Khattab and Abu Bakr. He was stoning them and casting aspersions on them when he was allowed to get into the tomb because of his position as the leader of Iran then. The leaders gave him that concession and opened the gates for him to enter, and then he was doing that. Hudhayfi, he saw that, he was angered by that, and then he did a khutbah with it and was suspended at that time, you know, and things like that. So once in a while, when the leaders will not listen privately, you do it publicly, but then it's not even advisable. A hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, reported by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and authenticated, of course, by some ulama, even though some ulama say it's not authentic, but then the most popular thing, I think, is that it's authentic. Wallahu ta'ala alam. I'm saying I think because I'm not as knowledgeable as the people that have disagreed on that hadith. So what I think is the strongest opinion is what I am following, but wallahu alam, I do not know, because the knowledge of that field is such a very wide one, and we're not allowed as students to just want to force our conclusions on others when we too are not very sure. We're only depending on the works of others, and those who are disagreeing with themselves are all very knowledgeable, and they know what the other is giving us reason. And so we say, Allah ta'ala alam, this is the one I'm more convinced by, but then I leave knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from all indications, from all that we've read from our predecessors and all that, it is better not to protest publicly. Wallahu alam. This one says, how do I correct this mistake done by the imam while praying, which affected the females, the prayer of the females, as there is a boundary at the female side of the masjid, so we couldn't see the imam while he was praying. It was an asr prayer. He forgot to sit for tashahud at the second rak'ah, whereas we, the female side, sat for it. When he said takbir, we stood for the third rak'ah, while the males and the imam went for ruku. We couldn't meet up with the ruku, so the female third rak'ah lacked ruku. After the completion of the salah, the imam made sujood ba'di to correct his error. My question is the correction valid for the female error as well, or they need to pray one more rak'ah? Whatever your imam does is what you do. That's one. But then before you do ba'di, that third rak'ah, she said it's maghrib, right? It was asr. So that means, my sister, you have lost two rak'ahs. So when the imam says the salam, you get up and say two rak'ahs, because you lost the ruku of those two rak'ahs, you have lost the rak'ahs now. So you will say two rak'ahs and say salam, and then do ruku sujood ba'da salam. I hope I've answered that question. I hope nobody's confused. It's a sister that asked. Unfortunately, I can't see the sisters now. But I hope that answer is satisfactory. Do we still have time? Huh? 1 minute. 4 minutes, okay. This one says, my question is, he or she took chloramphenicol eye drop, and after a short while, they felt bitter taste at the back of their throat. At the back, okay, so it's not that the chloramphenicol goes to the throat. At the back of the throat. Wonderful. He says, although he tried to spit it out, but he doesn't know if it was still. How can you even spit that one out? You are just, the shaitan is making the fasting more difficult for you. You cannot spit that out. It's not liquid that goes to your throat, so you can't spit it out. So that does not affect your fast at all. Just continue to swallow your saliva. It's not the chloramphenicol that you are swallowing. Huh? Inshallah. So I think we still have time. So this one says, what is the ruling on investment? What type of investment? Just investment? It's permissible to invest your money in businesses. You do musharaka, you do mudaraba, and the rest of them. It's permissible to invest your money. But I think maybe the person has a particular type of investment in mind. If you are investing in a brewery, of course you know that that is haram. Because they use your money to make alcohol. Unless they have separated between the Maltina side and the Stout and so on side. And they say that if you are investing with the name of Maltina, your money is used only to produce Maltina. Then you can do that. Because you know your money is not being used on alcohol. But I don't think there is any such separation. Once you give your money to Nigeria breweries, they can use it to produce any of those. It's better not to even take the risk at all. So just leave those investments and go to companies whose businesses are clear and invest there if you have to. But the way things are now, it's even better to think up a business and do your own business with your money and leave investing in other businesses, because most of the time you can hardly invest in any top business now that haram would not enter. You can hardly do so, hardly. I'm not saying there isn't, but it's very difficult. So why not just do the business yourself so that now you know what you're doing, you know what you're earning. Allah Ta'ala alam. May Allah save us. Allahumma qasim lana min khashyatika ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما حييتنا واجعل الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.